Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 28th of July, recording at 9:28 p.m. and that's British Summer Time. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets were mixed for the most part, although Nikkei was down 1.5%. Nearly on the stronger yen, and the Australian stock market was also down, possibly on the strength of the Australian currency, down 1.62%. China indices up a little bit. The European stock markets closed mixed. They were weak earlier on, then rallied as Wall Street rallied, but they closed when Wall Street showed modest gains of about 0.5%, which were then pretty much reversed with the S&P closing down just over 4,1300. Bit of a psychological level, that. The NASDAQ bucked the trend and was slightly higher, although well off the highs. Long-dated government bond prices rallied a little bit in Europe and the U.S. The U.S. dollar index was slightly steadier, and it was also steadier against, I see a number of, it was fractionally steadier against the Australian dollar, which is back below the just below the 110 level. Elsewhere, let's see, the US dollar is sort of flirting with that 80 level, 0.8 level against the Swiss franc, which is the region of the all-time low. And in precious metals, well, we had a bit more volatility in here today. Some early gains were reversed, and gold then recovered. So if we take gold bullion, it's currently trading after hours at 16.16. And it has been as high as 16.20, nearly. 16.90.90, and as low as 16.03.90. So it's up $2.4 on the day. That's the only one on the plus side. Silver had rallied up to 40.59, and then dipped to 39.34. So we're getting swings of over a dollar here on a daily basis, and silver is currently at 39.78.5. Platinum and palladium down a little bit. Grains and beans down a little bit. Natural gas a bit lower. Crude oil just sort of drifting 97.17 for WTI and 117 and a bit for Brent. Industrial metals mixed. A somewhat quieter day here overall, I would say. Okay, so what's going on? Well, nervousness continues here, and markets have a fair amount to worry about. In Asia, from the monetary tightening that's occurring, that weighed on India here for a fourth consecutive day, although it's still above 18,000 on the Sensex index, but it has been edging lower in here. And so inflationary pressures and tighter monetary policy worrying Asia a bit. The ASEAN sector is by far the strongest. Singapore looks good. Indonesia has been terrific, but is a little bit overextended now relative to its MA. And Thailand's been very, very firm, hitting new highs. But as I say, these lead on the upside, but they will not lead on the downside. And for that, we really do want to look at what happens with Wall Street, I think, because of the importance of the overall leash effect that that has. And following yesterday's downward dynamics, we have had a little bit of follow through here today. It's still nervous time, and the two events, the European periphery debt crisis, we saw Italian yields test their recent highs in here today before backing off a little bit, still up a little bit on the day. So that's a delicate situation. Same with the Spanish yields. No additional upward pressure at the moment on the other bond markets for the periphery countries. Now, but that overall situation obviously remains a concern. The debt ceiling issue. Now, what we all remain in the U.S. remains a concern. Now, what we obviously know is that the debt ceiling will be lifted, but we don't know whether it'll be before the second. Probably, but we can't be sure, and we don't know what kind of a deal will take place. Last night, I mentioned, you know, three possibilities. I mean, the best case was that they would come through with the $4 trillion cuts, believable cuts, and there are also unbelievable cuts or fudged cuts, but believable cuts that would probably keep the S&P from and Moody's and so on from downgrading U.S. debt, and would also be a package that went beyond the election. I think that's not a likely possibility. There's a greater possibility that we get some sort of fudge, and we'll go through the whole process again sometime next year. So not raising the debt ceiling sufficiently, and not getting sufficient cuts, in which case I think we almost certainly get a downgrade to U.S. debt. The implications of that, well, it can't be good news, let's put it that way. I certainly don't think it's a horrific disaster. I certainly hope not. We have no way of knowing, but we look at precedent for other downgrades around the world. I wouldn't overreact in terms of the risk, but the point to underline, and the obvious one, is that it's not good news. The third policy is that they don't do anything before the deadline, and this drags on beyond next Tuesday before they eventually cobble something together that might disturb the markets in here. But it's hard to say. I mean, I'm trying to guess what the crowd would be doing, and markets can be perverse, or other factors can also exert their influence overall. But the bottom line here is that there is a lot for equity investors to be concerned about. And that's keeping us in this corrective phase, which has been in evidence for most of the year to date. And there's no evidence that we're about to break out of this in any kind of major way, although three of the ASEAN markets, four of the ASEAN markets did, Indonesia, Malaysia, Thailand, and the Philippines, and Singapore is very steady overall. The U.S. did test its upper boundaries, but has encountered some stiff resistance up there this week. So there's no evidence that Wall Street and global markets are about to break up out of these ranges. And there is some evidence that European and U.S. markets, and no doubt some others that are affected by the Wall Street leash effect, can weaken a bit further in here. And that includes India, which where the Reserve Bank of India shocked the markets with a half point interest rate hike rather than the anticipated quarter of a percent interest rate hike. Now, my comment on that is that those bigger, in this case 50% interest rate hikes, they occur late in the cycle of interest rate increases. But those are the ones that can be the most damaging on sentiment overall. As you know, I remain a huge bull of India over the medium to longer term, and I've got another article. I don't want you to think I'm India obsessed in here, but it's just that a spate of very good articles on India has turned up recently, and I'm dutifully posting them. And I think this one, well, I think they're all, if you're interested in that region, I think they're all worth reading. They add a little bit more information each time. It's not a rehash of just known factors. But India has already seen a substantial correction. I'm certainly not thinking about trying to finesse a move by getting out of my position and hoping to buy it back a bit lower. But I am thinking about what I would do if it does fall further and become even better value. And I would buy a little more, probably with the Aberdeen New India Fund this time around. My main holding, as you may recall, is in the JP Morgan India Investment Trust, which I will certainly hold, but I think I'd add the I would add by opening it along in the Aberdeen New India Fund. Now, what else to mention here? In terms of well, let's go on to precious metals. Because they weakened here a little bit today, I used that opportunity to buy a little bit more silver. And I'm probably going to trade this a bit more actively. It's on the baby steps basis of buying on weakness and selling on rallies. I think I will do that until I have evidence that it clear, sustainable upward trend is underway, and as long as silver's trading in quite a volatile fashion and getting swings of regularly of $1, $1.50 or more per day, then it would make sense to do a little bit of that. Try to harvest some of that volatility. So again, on precious metals, point I would, which will be buffeted like everything else by these concerns that we have, uncertainty over the debt ceiling, et cetera, et cetera. These remain buys on setbacks, in my opinion. We are. Well, the clock is ticking away here, taking us closer to the what over the last decade has been the period of outperformance to the upside. September, commencing in September and running well into the first quarter of the next year, and we appear to be on course for that. Do we get some more choppy action in the month of August? Well. I think it would be surprising if we didn't. But again, I'm looking to nibble at these precious metals on setbacks and to lighten a little bit on the rallies. And in terms of commodity price inflation overall, I think it would take a sharp stock market correction. To from current levels to really cap most of these commodity markets for the medium term. This remains very much a secular bull market, in my view. And you've had the head of Shell, Royal Dutch Shell, come out today and say that the era of cheap oil and gas is over. Well, I think we pretty well know that. My own view and the Owens view is that this will remain the case. Tight supplies will remain quite tight, really, until the world's vast reserves of shale gas and shale oil are in production. And that's probably, well, I've been saying 12 to 15 years away for quite some time. When they are in production, then I feel that oil and gas prices will be lower than they are today in real terms. In real terms means, of course, inflation-adjusted terms. I would expect the U.S. dollar and the euro and sterling and most other currencies to be to have suffered some loss of purchasing power over that interim, that 12 to 15 years that I'm talking about, just as they have pretty well over any 12 to 15 year period. So tomorrow may be an interesting day here in terms of second guessing and as to what Congress will actually do and how various markets will respond. It's probably a time for steady nerves, not chasing anything in the markets, but picking up bargains where you see them. And on that note, all the best.